you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
I'll begin reading from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. That was Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, April 15th, 2024. Now, if you were tuned in yesterday, it was kind of a Testimony Tuesday on Monday. And returning into the studio with me is Pastor Marvin Bembry. You heard some of his faith journey, life story, his credentials in the marketplace, the ways God has used him and trained him with some pretty significant corporations. As we talked about yesterday, it's not like secular work and sacred work. All that we can do for the Lord is sacred work. Wherever we go, as we go, we can proclaim that good news message of Jesus. We can be God's ambassador at the gas station, at the grocery store, in this classroom. Wherever we go, as we go, we get to proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so that secular or that sacred should be a blending of whatever you're called to do for the Lord is a sacred stomping ground, if you will. Well, anyways, I have him back in the studio. In fact, thank you, God, for Pastor Bembry, because he was being a life coach. He's probably spent about 45 minutes with me tooling and asking me good questions and giving me some recommendations and planning out some things that I should do and some unique things that I have to really think through and pray over. So thank you for joining me, carving out additional time for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I want to point out, lastly, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. And I think you'll be blessed and you'll benefit by what was said and shared. I titled yesterday's program, Impacting the World for Christ, and we covered a number of different topics. I think I went through my 3 pages of notes because Pastor Marvin was at the Ministerial Alliance meeting a week ago Saturday, and he had us all captivated by his sharing, his love for the Lord, and his challenge for us to value all people with that salvation message, to be busy about doing the Lord's work and not missing out on the mission. That's to love Jesus, to know him well, and then to be led by him and not to get so caught up, as I oftentimes do, with the project. I get all focused on the project, forgetting why I'm doing the project. It's to proclaim Jesus. So thank you again for joining me, Pastor Marvin. And I wanted you, I said this yesterday, to share a little more or develop that Matthew 4:19, something that God put on your heart some weeks ago.
Thank you, Brother Mark, and God bless you today and your ministry here at the radio station, and blessings to all that are tuning in today. Matthew 4:19 is one of those metaphorical scriptures that Jesus uses to share the urgency and the importance of sharing the gospel with everybody. The notion that just as fishermen cast their net to catch fish, we are called to cast the net of God's love to catch souls for the kingdom of God. This is particularly important to me, poignant to me, in that I'd like to fish. I'd like to charter fish out on Lake Michigan. And it's a wonderful thing in the spring and summer and fall that from time to time I'll go out and we'll have numbers of rods in Lake Michigan, and we're out there trying to catch fish. Well, Jesus uses this moment, this poignant moment of catching fish, and he says to his disciples, he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let me try that again. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I've read that over and over for emphasis, and as you hear the intonation on certain aspects, certain words of that verse, perhaps you see what he is saying there. Jesus is only giving a singular command. I've read this verse over and over again over the years, right? But he's only giving a single command in the text, and it is, follow me. He does not say here that I want you to be fishers of men. He says, follow me. And I will do the work in you to cause you to do what it is that I want you to do. And so, brothers and sisters today that are listening in, the question that I challenge our leaders, our religious leaders, this incredible conclave of religious leaders in Springfield was, are we following him? Are we following him? Because if we're only looking at this from a results standpoint, not in terms of the espoused theories, right? We talked about that on yesterday, the espoused theories versus the theory. If we're looking at this from a result standpoint, like, are we fishing for men? Are we catching fish? Are we advancing the kingdom of God by growing the kingdom of God? Are we following him? Because the implication, the strong, emphatic implication of the text is, if and when we follow him, we will be made to be fishers of men. Now, this is a challenging supposition because, of course, every time you fish doesn't mean that you're going to catch fish. But embedded in the notion of every experienced fisherman is this idea that as you fish, over time, you will catch. And so I want to challenge each one of us today that are listening is, are we following him? Can we judge that we are following him by the work that is being produced as a consequence of our time, our talent, and our treasure? Are we following him? Are we so busy doing the work of the ministry that we neglected the mission of the ministry? All of these things that we do in church, we raise money, we go on trips, we do youth activities, we do community activities, we do social impact activities, we do men's meetings and women's meeting and church conferences and ushers and deacons and all of those kinds of things that go on. But the question is, are we following Jesus such that we are making disciples, we are winning souls, making disciples, and then multiplying that over and over again? And the strong implication of the text is, follow me, and I'll make that happen in you. And so in terms of results, each one of us need to take a moment and pause and think and say, all right, am I following Jesus? Am I winning souls? Am I multiplying souls? Am I making disciples? Or have I relegated that to somebody else in church? That's their job. Are we following Jesus? Brother Mark, I was challenged by that notion some weeks ago, and I wanted to just try to share that challenge with each one of you. And it's challenging for me as well to have to answer that question. Perhaps I'm following him, but am I following him close enough? Or am I like Peter? The Bible says he followed Jesus, but he was kind of off in the distance. And we can get so off in the distance doing stuff that we neglect the very mission that we are called to perform. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world, right? And preach, proclaim the gospel, make disciples. What I realize is that I've got to acknowledge my own need for God in such a crucial moment in time and ask God to give me a burden for the mission, to rekindle the fire of evangelism and discipleship and multiplication, because it is no longer acceptable for us to go through the motions and espouse theories, but the practice not be in alignment with the mission. I'm going to pause there, Brother Mark. What do you think about that?
Well, I also wrote down a couple of things. I love that come. Are we listening? Are we attentive to Jesus's voice? Because he's appealing to us. He's welcoming us. He's sending out that invitation. So I'm thinking for somebody maybe that hasn't walked in the Christian circles, that doesn't know Jesus's voice yet, he's calling them. He's saying to you, individual, that maybe is discombobulated over life. You don't seem to have meaning or purpose, and you're wondering why you're even tuning into this broadcast today. Well, Jesus does extend that welcoming invitation. He cares for you. He loves you. Now, he's speaking to his disciples, so they already followed him. They loved him. But I'm just thinking for that unchurched person that's like, Jesus would care about me. He cares for me. And he does say, come. He welcomes you. He's sending that invitation. He designed you. He created you. You have value. And for those of us that want to follow him, that's emphatic. I love how you divided this. Follow me. That's first and foremost. That's what we're called to do, to be followers of Jesus.
Absolutely right. And to the person who is listening, who is dealing with that notion, you're in that place of juxtaposition that Mark just talked about. Jesus loves you so much and so emphatically and so entirely that no matter where you are in life, no matter who you are, no matter how discombobulated or how together you think your life is, he loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And it is in finding relationship with Jesus Christ that we move into the place of purpose. You know, Brother Mark, I do a lot of work as an executive coach. And sometimes as a coach, I'll ask people, what is your mission? What is your mission? Like, what is your reason? And for every person who has ever found Jesus or Jesus has ever found, he gives you a mission. He gives you a purpose. And if you're not aware of what that is, may I suggest to you today, you can find Jesus today and he will begin to open up purpose in your life, open up his purpose in your life, and you'll always be fulfilled.
I also like this following verse. After we learn to follow him, that's what you're supposed to do. He's the one, and I will make you fishers of men. Share a little more about that. What does that mean for the person that's hearing, well, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus and he's going to make me a fisher of men? What does that mean?
It means that God is going to, one, burden you in alignment with his ultimate purpose. What is that? Peter tells us, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so as we begin to follow closely after Jesus, you'll begin to feel the heart of God, the heartbeat of God, the purpose of God. And you'll be emboldened to want to share what God has done for you with others that you come into contact with, whether it's at home, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's in business. You will have to share with others because of what God has done for you. And because you realize some really crucial things. You realize some really important things. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You'll begin to realize the importance of going after the law. He says, I will make you to be fishers of men. I will move in your heart and so transform your perspective, that it will no longer be me-centered or individually centered, but I will cause you to be able to speak to those who I desire to come into relationship with me. And the power of this is the power of the church. We have that power to do what the world cannot do. And so regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of type of sin, we recognize that every person is important to Christ. And because eternity hangs in the balance, that urgency will move in our heart and spirit. and we will be compelled to bring others to Jesus Christ.
And I like that he's going to make us fishers of men. I wrote down the word, he's going to equip us. He equips those he calls. And if there's a stirring in your heart, maybe you're getting excited, like, I can't wait to get out today and, Lord, order my steps, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you to somebody that's maybe hurting. Maybe you can see on their face, they're just tired, they're upset. Maybe you can be that whisper of the Lord to just encourage them. How can I help? How can I pray for you? Ask the Lord to give you those divine appointments today, because he cares that all come to know him. He doesn't want anyone to be lost, and you can be that vehicle, that conduit, that assistant that will be used of God to bring somebody into that saving knowledge that Jesus loves them.
Amen. And I'm also thankful for the scripture in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. How does it happen? The power of the Holy Spirit begins to equip you to do the work of the ministry. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we can't really do the work of the ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be futile in our efforts. But when God's Spirit invades us and controls us and transforms us, we're going to have the power, the authority, the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ and to bring others into the kingdom of Christ. That's what being a real evangelical really is.
In case you just tuned in and you're like, I think I heard that voice yesterday. Yes, I'm privileged to have Pastor Marvin Bembry in the studio with me again. He was on yesterday and shared a little of his testimony and faith journey, some of his life story, even a little of his love story to the lovely Darlene. He's been married for about 37 years. They have two children and they minister together at New Beginnings Ministries of Lake County in Lindenhurst, Illinois. So if you have friends or neighbors in the northern part of Illinois, we encourage you to invite them to go to New Beginnings Ministries of Lake County. Is there a website, or how would they find out more about the ministry?
Certainly, there is a website. newbm.com is our website, and you can also tune in to some of our messages through that medium. But for many people, we have listeners who listen to our ministry from multiple parts of the world, and they access it through Facebook. Our messages are broadcast on Facebook every Sunday, every Wednesday, and then sometime replayed throughout the week, and then also through YouTube. And so through the medium of technology, if you're living hundreds of miles away or 50 miles away, and it's just not practical to try to get up to Northern Lake County, you can tune in to us live or record it through those channels, YouTube and also Facebook.
So New Beginnings Ministries of Lake County in Lindenhurst, Illinois, or also write down newbm.com, newbm.com. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Pastor Marvin Bembry. And he was a speaker at our recent Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, and we just were so blessed. Bishop Franklin said, you're in for a real treat, and we were. And I said, we got to have you a part of Monday's program. And then yesterday, as he shared some of his faith journey, I said, I want you to touch on that special passage in Matthew 4:19, about following Jesus, because I think there's points of application for all of us. And first and foremost, listening friend, it's following Jesus. It's turning to Jesus. It's seeking Jesus for counsel, for advice, for direction. And when you follow him, then all the other, it's like that, was it Matthew? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you.
That's right.
You'll have direction. You'll have insight. You'll have confirmation on where to go or what to involve yourself in. And as I mentioned on the front end of the program, I was blessed to have you in the studio. I think you did some life coaching, some direction, some vision casting. Where are your priorities? What two or three things might God be calling you to focus on and not to be so watered down or discombobulated doing so many different things? And so he's really giving me some insights and some things to be praying over in the days ahead. And so I share that because you might be doing a number of different things today, but God's saying, you know, those are okay things, but there are greater things, there are better things that he wants you to be focusing on. And so I'm reevaluating all the balls that I'm juggling and trying to figure out what would be some of the best things that I could optimize my time in and be more efficient and effective and then balanced. So listening friends, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, I invite you to stop by greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also wluj.org, wluj.org, because there might have been something that was said and shared that you want to pass on to a friend. So you can just right-click on it, copy it into your email, and send it on to a friend, and they'll have the audio link. So I invite you to do that. And if you're in the northern part of Illinois, stop by New Beginnings Ministry of Lake County. It's in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Or as mentioned, maybe during the week you want to catch up on some of the sermons. I'm sure they archive them so you can listen to them at the time they're being delivered, or go back and listen to past messages. newbm.com. newbm.com, and maybe you're driving, just call the station and we can give you that information. Call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, it's been a pleasure, Pastor Bembry. I feel privileged to be able to call you Marvin. You've been life coaching me for a couple of days here and pouring into me and spending time, and I appreciate it. Your time is valuable, and your expertise and gift sets where God has taken you these many years and being involved at New Beginnings Ministry of Lake County and serving the Ministerial Alliance and being that free agent for Jesus wherever he leads you. But in our closing minute, is there a thought or a takeaway for somebody to think about for this day?
I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, men do not light a candle, verse 15, and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's powerful, because what Jesus is saying is, I am put within you, the believer, light. And it makes no sense for you to hide this light under a bushel, but proclaim it loudly, broadly, because it is the mechanism to give light to everyone. Our brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we have the light of Jesus Christ, and it is our responsibility to allow that light to shine, because this world is in darkness, and it is our obligation, our responsibility, to allow the light of Jesus to be seen. And when it is seen, it will give light to all that's in the house. We've got to elevate Jesus, promote Jesus. Paul said, I came only to preach Jesus and him crucified. I think too many of us have dabbled in too many other elements, political and social, etc. All of those have their place. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just suggest to you this today. We have to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the only transforming power of God. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believe. And so I'm thankful, Brother Mark, for your invitation to come. I'm thankful for Bishop Franklin, who invited me to come and to share with this incredible conclave of religious leaders here in Springfield. And I so hope that our time together has added value to someone who's listening to us today. May the Lord bless you.
Amen and amen. Impact the world for Christ today by first and foremost following him. Spend some time with him today and allow him to work in and through you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Marvin Bembry with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.